Starless Night, Chapter 8. Out of Place. He moved without a whisper along the lightless tunnels, his eyes glowing lavender, seeking changes in the heat patterns along the floor and walls that would indicate bends or enemies in the tunnel. He seemed at home, a creature of the Underdark, moving with typically quiet grace and cautious posture. Driz did not feel at home, though. Already he was deeper than the lowest tunnels of Mithril Hall, and the stagnant air pressed in on him. He had spent nearly 2 decades on the surface, learning and living by the rules that govern the outer world. Those rules were as different to Underdark precepts as a forest wildflower was to a deep cavern fungus. A human, a goblin, even an alert surface elf would have taken no note of Drizzt's silent passage, though he might cross just a few feet away. But Drizzt felt clumsy and loud. The drow ranger cringed with every step, fearing that echoes were resounding along the blank stone walls hundreds of yards away. This was the Underdark, a place negotiated less by sight than by hearing and a sense of smell. Drizzt had spent nearly 2/3 of his life in the Underdark, and a good portion of the last 20 years underground in the caverns of Clan Battlehammer. He no longer considered himself a creature of the Underdark, though. He had left his heart behind on a mountainside, watching the stars and the moon, the sunrise and the sunset. This was the land of starless nights. No, not nights, just a single unending starless night, Drizzt decided. A stagnant air and leering stalactites. The tunnel's width varied greatly, sometimes as narrow as the breadth of Driz's shoulders, sometimes wide enough for 12 men to walk abreast. The floor sloped slightly, taking Drizzt even deeper, but the ceiling paralleled it well, remaining fairly consistent at about twice the height of the 5.5-foot drow. For a long time, Drizzt detected no side caverns or corridors, and he was glad of that, for he didn't want to be forced into any direction decisions yet. And in this simple setup, any potential enemies would have to come at him from straight ahead. Drizzt honestly believed that he was not prepared for any surprises. Not yet. Even his infravision pained him. His head throbbed as he tried to sort out and interpret the varying heat patterns. In his younger years, Drizzt had gone for 10 days, even months, with his eyes tuned exclusively to the infrared spectrum, looking for heat instead of reflected light. But now, with his eyes so used to the sun above and the torches lining the corridors of Mithril Hall, he found the infravision jarring. Finally, he drew out Twinkle, and the enchanted scimitar glowed with a soft bluish light. Drizzt rested back against the wall and let his eyes revert to the regular spectrum, then used the sword as a guiding light. Soon after, he came to a 6-way intersection, 2 crossing horizontal corridors intersected by a vertical shaft. Drizzt tucked Twinkle away and looked above, up the shaft. He saw no heat sources, but was little comforted. Many of the Underdark's predators could mask their body temperatures, like a surface tiger used its stripes to crawl through thick strands of high grass. Dreaded hookars, for example, had developed an exoskeleton. The bony plates shielded the creature's body heat so they had appeared as unremarkable rocks to heat-sensing eyes. And many of the Underdark's monsters were reptilian, cold-blooded, and hard to see. Drizzt sniffed the stagnant air several times. Then he stood still and closed his eyes, letting his ears provide all the external input. He heard nothing, save the beating of his own heart. So he checked his gear to ensure that all was secure and started to climb down the shaft, taking care amid the dangerous loose rubble. He nearly made it silently down the 60 feet to the lower corridor, but a single stone skidded down before him, striking the corridor's floor with a sharp crack at almost the same instant that Drizzt's soft boots quietly came down from the wall. Drizzt froze in place, listening to the sound as it echoed from wall to wall. As a drow patrol leader, Drizzt had once been able to follow echoes perfectly, almost instinctively discerning which walls were rebounding the sound and from which direction. Now, though, he had difficulty sorting through the echo's individual sounds. Again, he felt out of place, overmatched by the brooding darkness. And again, he felt vulnerable, for many denizens of the Dark's ways could indeed follow an echo trail, and this particular one led directly to Drizzt. He swiftly traversed a virtual maze of crisscrossing corridors, some veering sharply and descending to pass beneath others, or climbing along natural stairs to new levels of winding ways. Drizzt sorely missed Gwenhyber. The panther could sort through any maze. He thought of the cat again a short time later, when he came around a bend and stumbled upon a fresh kill. It was some type of subterranean lizard, too mutilated for Drizzt to figure out exactly what. Its tail was gone, as was its lower jaw, and its belly had been gashed open, its innards devoured. Drizzt found long tears in the skin, as though it had been raked by claws, and long and thin bruises, like those made by a whip. Beyond a pool of blood a few feet away from the corpse, the drow found a single track, a paw print, in the shape and size very similar to one Gwenhyber might make. But Drizzt's cat was hundreds of miles away, and this kill, by the ranger's estimation, was barely an hour old. Creatures of the Underdark did not roam as did creatures of the surface. The dangerous predator was likely not far away. Brunner Battlehammer stormed along the passageway, his grief stolen for the moment by undeniable mounting rage. Thibbledorf Puent bounced along beside the king, his mouth flapping one question after another, and his armor squealing annoyingly with every movement. Brunner skidded to a stop and turned on the battle rager, put his angry scar and angry scowl in line with Puent's bushy-bearded face.
"Why don't you get yourself a bath?"
Brunner roared. Puent fell back and began to choke on the command. By his estimation, a dwarf king ordering a subject to go take a bath was roughly the equivalent of a human king telling his knights to go out and kill babies. There were some lines that a ruler simply did not cross.
"Bah!" Brunner snorted. "Good enough for you, then. But go and grease that damned armor. How's a king to think with your squeaking and squealing?"
Puent's head bobbed his agreement with the compromise, and he bounded away, almost afraid to stay, afraid that the tyrant King Brunner would again demand the bath. Brunner just wanted the battle rager away from him. He didn't really care how he accomplished that task. It had been a difficult afternoon. The dwarf had just met with Burk Thigar the Bold, an emissary from Settlestone, and had learned that Caterbury had never arrived in the barbarian settlement, even though she had been out of Mithril Hall for nearly a 10-day. Brunner's mind raced over the events of his last meeting with his daughter. He recalled images of the young woman, tried to scrutinize them and remember every word she had said for some clue as to what might be happening. But Brunner had been too absorbed on that occasion. If Caterbury had hinted at anything other than her intentions to go to Settlestone, the dwarf had simply missed it. His first thoughts, when talking with Burk Thigar, were that his daughter had met some trouble on the mountainside. He had almost called out a dwarven contingent to scour the area, but, on an impulse, had paused long enough to ask the emissary about the cairn being erected for Wulfgar.
"What cairn?"
Burk Thigar had replied. Brunner knew then that he had been deceived, and if Caterbury had not been alone in that deception, then Brunner could easily guess the identity of her co-conspirator. He nearly took the wooden, iron-bound door of Buster Bracer, a highly regarded armorer, off its hinges as he burst in, catching the blue-bearded dwarf and his halfling subject by surprise. Regis stood atop a small platform, being measured so that his armor could be let out to fit his widening girth. Brunner bounded up beside the pedestal, and Buster was wise enough to fall back from it, grabbed the halfling by the front of his tunic, and hoisted him into the air with one arm.
"Where's me girl?"
the dwarf roared.
"Settle,"
Regis started to lie, but Brunner began shaking him violently, whipping him back and forth through the air like some ragdoll.
"Where's me girl?"
the dwarf said again, more quietly, his words a threatening snarl.
"And don't you play games with me, Rumblebelly."
Regis was getting more than a little tired of being assaulted by his supposed friends. The quick-thinking halfling immediately concocted a ruse about Caterbury running off to Silvery Moon in search of Drizzt. It wouldn't be a complete lie, after all. Looking at Brunner's scarred face, twisted in rage, but so obviously filled with pain, the halfling could not bring himself to fib.
"Put me down,"
he said quietly, and apparently Brunner understood the halfling's empathy, for the dwarf gently lowered Regis to the ground. Regis brushed his tunic straight, then waggled a fist before the dwarf king.
"How dare you!"
he roared. Brunner went back on his heels at the unexpected and uncharacteristic outburst, but the halfling did not relent.
"First Drizzt comes to me and forces me to hold a secret,"
Regis expounded.
"Then Caterbury comes in and pushes me around until I tell her. Now you! What fine friends I have surrounded myself with!" The stinging words calmed the volatile dwarf, but only a little. What secret might Regis be hinting at? Thibbledorf Puente bounded into the room then, his armor squeaking no less, though his face, beard, and hands were certainly smeared with grease. He stopped beside Brunner, surveying the unexpected situation for just a moment. Puente rubbed his hands eagerly in front of him, then ran them down the front of his cruelly ridged armor.
"Should I hug him?"
he asked the king hopefully. Brunner slapped a hand out to hold the eager battle rager at bay.
"Where's me girl?"
the dwarf king asked a third time, this time quietly and calmly, as though he was asking a friend. Regis firmed his jaw, then nodded and began. He told Brunner everything, even his role in aiding Catterby, in handing her the assassin's dagger and the magical mask. Brunner's face began to twist in rage again, but Regis stood tall, relatively speaking, and dispelled the rising ire.
"Am I to trust in Catterby any less than you would?"
Regis asked simply, reminding the dwarf that his human daughter was no child and no novice to the perils of the road. Brunner didn't know how to take it all. A small part of him wanted to throttle Regis, but he understood that he would simply be playing out his frustration, and that the halfling was really not to blame. Where else could he turn, though? Both Drizzt and Catterby were long gone, well on their way, and Brunner had no idea of how he could get to them. Neither did the scarred dwarf, at that moment, have any strength to try. He dropped his gaze to the stone floor. His anger played out, and his grief returned, and, without another word, he walked from the room. He had to think, and for the sake of his dearest friends and his beloved daughter, he had to think fast. Puente looked to Regis and Buster for answers, but they simply shook their heads. A slight shuffle, the padded footsteps of a hunting cat, perhaps, was all that Drizzt could discern. The Drow Ranger stood perfectly still, all his senses attuned to his surroundings. If it was the cat, Drizzt knew that it was close enough to have caught his scent, that it undoubtedly knew that something had wandered into its territory. Drizzt spent a moment scrutinizing the area. The tunnel continued haphazardly, sometimes wide, sometimes narrow, and this entire section was broken and uneven. The floor full of bumps and holes in the walls lined with natural alcoves and deep nooks. The ceiling, too, was no longer constant, sometimes low and sometimes high. Drizzt could see the varied gradations of heat on the high walls ahead and knew the walls were lined with ledges in many places. A great cat could jump up there, watching its intended prey from above. The thought was not a settling one, but Drizzt had to press on. To backtrack, he would have to go all the way to the chute and climb to a higher level, then wander about in the hopes that he would find another way down. Drizzt didn't have time to spare. Neither did his friends. He put his back against the wall as he continued, stalking in a crouch, one scimitar drawn and the other, Twinkle, ready in its sheath. Drizzt did not want the magical blade's glow to further reveal his position, though he knew that hunting cats in the Underdark needed no light. He lightly stepped across the mouth of one wide and shallow alcove, then came to the edge of a second, narrower and deeper. When he was satisfied that this one, too, was unoccupied, he turned back for a general scan of the area. Shining green eyes, cat eyes, stared back at him from the ledge on the opposite wall. Out came Twinkle, flaring an angry blue, bathing the area in light. Drizzt, his eyes shifting back from the infrared spectrum, saw the great dark silhouette as the monster leaped, and he deftly dived out of harm's way. The cat touched down lightly, with all six legs, and it pivoted about, showing white teeth and sinister eyes. It was panther-like, its fur so black as to shimmer a deep blue, and it was nearly as large as Gwenhyber. Drizzt didn't know what to think. If this had been a normal panther, he would have tried to calm it, tried to show it that he was no enemy, that he would go right past its lair. But this cat, this monster, had six legs, and from its shoulders protruded long whip-like appendages, waving menacingly and tipped with bony ridges. Snarling, the beast padded in, ears tight against its head, formidable fangs bared. Drizzt crouched low, scimitar straight out in front, feet perfectly balanced so that he could dodge aside. The beast stopped its stalk. Drizzt watched carefully as its middle set of legs and its hind legs tamped down. It came fast. Drizzt started left, but the beast skidded to a stop, and Drizzt did likewise, lurching ahead to cut with one blade in a straight thrust. Right between the panther's eyes went the scimitar, perfectly aligned. It hit nothing but air, and Drizzt stumbled forward,
He instinctively dived to the stone and rolled right as one tentacle whipped just above his head and the other scored a slight hit on his hip. Huge paws raked and swatted all about him, but he worked his scimitars wildly, somehow keeping them at bay. He came up running, quickly putting a few feet between himself and the dangerous cat. The drow settled back into his defensive crouch, less confident now. The beast was smart. Driz would never have expected such a feint from an animal. Worse, the drow could not understand how he had missed. His blade thrust had been true. Even the incredible agility of a cat could not have gotten the beast out of the way so quickly. A tentacle came at him from the right, and he threw a scimitar out that way not just to parry, but hoping to sever the thing. He missed, then barely managed, past his surprise, to twirl to the left, taking another hit on the hip, this one painful. The beast rushed forward, one paw flying out in front to hook the spinning drow. Drizzt braced, Twinkle ready to block, but the paw caught him fully a foot below the scimitar's blocking angle. Again, Drizzt's ability to react saved him, for instead of fighting the angle of the in-turn paw, which would have ripped large lines in his body, he dived with it, down to the stone, scrambling and kicking his way past the panther's snapping maw. He felt like a mouse running back under a house cat, and, worse, this cat had two sets of legs left to cross. Drizzt elbowed and batted, jabbed up, and scored a solid hit. He couldn't see in the sudden wild flurry, and only when he came out of the panther's backside did he realize that his blindness was his saving grace. He came up into a running step, then leaped into a headlong roll just ahead of a twin snapping tentacles. He hadn't been able to see, and he had scored his only hit. The panther came around again, snarling in rage, its green eyes boring like lamplights into the drow. Drizzt spat at those eyes, a calculated move, for though his aim seemed true and the beast made no move to dodge, the spittle hit only the stone floor. The cat was not where it appeared to be. Drizzt tried to remember his training in Menza Baranzan's academy. He had heard of such beasts once, but they were very rare and hadn't been a source of any major lessons. In came the cat. Drizzt leaped forward, inside the snapping reach of those painful tentacles. He guessed, aiming his attack a couple feet to the right of where he perceived the beast. But the cat was left, and his scimitar swished harmlessly through the air. Drizzt knew he was in trouble. He leaped straight up, felt a claw slash at his foot, the same foot that had been wounded in his fight with Artemis and Treri on the ledge outside of Mithril Hall. Down sliced Twinkle, the magnificent blade gashing the front claw, forcing the cat to retreat. Drizzt landed half-entwined with the beast, felt the hot breath of its drooling maw about his forearm, and punched out, twisting his wrist so that the weapon's crosspiece prevented the monster from tearing his hand off. He closed his eyes. They would only confuse him, and bashed down with Twinkle's hilt, clubbing the monster's head. Then he jerked free and ran off. The bony end of the tentacle flew out behind him, caught up to his back, and he threw himself into a headlong roll, absorbing some of the sting. Up again, Drizzt ran on in full flight. He came to the wide and shallow alcove and spun in, the monster right behind. Drizzt reached within himself, into his innate magical abilities, and brought forth a globe of impenetrable darkness. Twinkle's light disappeared, as did the monster's shining eyes. Drizzt circled two steps and came forward, not wanting the beast to escape the darkened area. He felt the swish of the tentacle, a near hit, then sensed it coming back again the other way. The drow smiled in satisfaction as his scimitar slashed out to meet it, cutting right through it. The beast's pained roar guided Drizzt back in. He couldn't get caught in too tight, he knew, but with his scimitars, he had an advantage of reach. Would Twinkle Up defend itself against the remaining tentacle, he jabbed the other blade repeatedly, scoring a few minor hits. The enraged cat leaped, but Drizzt sensed it and fell flat to the floor, rolling to his back and thrusting both his blades straight up, scoring a serious double hit on the monster's belly. The cat came down hard, skidding heavily into the wall, and, before it could recover, Drizzt was upon it. A scimitar bashed against its skull, creasing its head. The cat whipped about and sprang forward, paws extended, maw open wide. Twinkle was waiting. The scimitar's tip caught the beast on the chin and slid down under the maw to dig at its rushing neck. A paw batted the blade, nearly tearing it free from the drow's extended hand. But Drizzt knew that he had to hang on for all his life. There came a savage flurry, but the drow, backpedaling, managed to keep the beast at bay. Out of the darkness, the two came, the beast pressing on. Drizzt closed his eyes. He sensed that the remaining tentacle would snap at him, and he reversed direction, suddenly throwing all of his weight behind Twinkle. The tentacle wrapped his back. He got his opposite elbow up just in time to prevent its end from coming right around and slamming his face. Twinkle was in the monster halfway to the hilt. A wheezing and gurgling sound came from the beast's throat, but heavy paws battered at Driz's sides, shredding pieces of his cloak and scratching the fine mithril armor. The cat tried to turn its impaled neck to the side to bite Driz's arm. Driz's free hand went to work, furiously pumping up and down, bashing his scimitar repeatedly against the cat's head. He felt the claws grasp and hold him, biting Maw just an inch from his belly. One claw slipped through the chain link in the metal coat, slightly puncturing the drow's side. The scimitar bashed again and again. Down they tumbled in a heap. Drizzt, on his side and staring into wicked eyes, thought he was doomed and tried to squirm free. But the cat's grip loosened, and Drizzt realized that the beast was dead. He finally wriggled from the hold and looked down at the slain creature, its green eyes shining even in death.
"Don't you go in there!"
one of the two guards outside of Brunner's throne room said to Regis as he boldly approached the door. The halfling considered them carefully. He never remembered seeing a dwarf so pale. The door banged open, and a contingent of dwarves, fully armed and armored, burst out, falling over each other as they ran off down the stone corridor. Behind them came a verbal tirade, a stream of curses from their king. One of the guards started to close the door, but Regis hopped up and pushed his way in. Brunner paced about his throne, punching the great chair whenever he passed close enough. General Dagna, Mithril Hall's military leader, sat in his appointed chair, looking rather glum, and Thibbledorf Puent hopped about gleefully in Brunner's shadow, cautiously dodging aside whenever Brunner spun about.
"Stupid priests!" Brunner growled. "With Cobble dead, there are none powerful enough,"
Dagna tried to intervene, but Brunner wasn't listening.
"Stupid priests!"
the dwarf said again, more forcefully.
"Yeah!"
Puent readily agreed.
"Me king, you've got two patrols off to Silvery Moon, and another north of the city,"
Dagna tried to reason.
"And you got half me soldiers walking the tunnels below.
And I'll be sending the other half if them that's there don't show me the way,"
Brunner roared. Regis, still standing unnoticed by the door, was beginning to catch on, and he wasn't displeased by what he was seeing. Brunner, and it seemed like the old Brunner once more, was moving heaven and earth to find Drizzt and Caterbury. The old dwarf had stoked his inner fires.
"But there are 1,000 separate tunnels down there,"
Dagna argued,
"and some may take a 10-day to explore before we learn that they're dead ends."
"Then send down 1,000 dwarves,"
Brunner growled at him. He stalked past the chair again, then skidded to a stop, and Puent bounced into his back as he regarded the halfling.
"What are you looking at?"
Brunner demanded when he noticed Regis's wide-eyed stare. Regis would have liked to say, "At my oldest friend," but he merely shrugged instead. For an instant, he caught a flash of anger in the dwarf's one blue-gray eye, and he thought that Brunner was leaning toward him, perhaps fighting an inner urge to rush over and throttle him. But the dwarf calmed and slid into his throne. Regis cautiously approached, studying Brunner and taking little heed of pragmatic Dagna's claims that there was no way to catch up with the two wayfaring friends. Regis heard enough to figure that Dagna wasn't too worried for Drizzt and Caterbury, and that didn't surprise him much, since the crusty dwarf wasn't overly fond of anyone who wasn't a dwarf.
"If we had the damned cat,"
Brunner began, and once again came that flash of anger as he regarded the halfling. Regis put his hands behind his back and bowed his head.
"Or me damned locket,"
Brunner roared.
"Where in the nine hells did I put me damned locket?"
Regis winced at every roaring outburst, but Brunner's anger did not change his feelings that he'd done the right thing in assisting Caterbury and in sending Gwenhiver along with her. And, though he half expected Brunner to punch him in the face at any moment, it did not change the halfling's feelings that he was glad to see Brunner full of life again.